Well, now I have to introduce to you by video Senator Patrick Leahy with an important message for all of you. Ladies and gentlemen, Senator.
Hi, I'm Pat Leahy, and thanks for inviting me to the Janney Awards. I wish I was there with you. I would like to think I wouldn't have to be quite this dressed up as I am when I'm here at the Senate, although I want you to know it is a Jerry Garcia tie. And I want to congratulate my good friend Bobby Weir. Bob well deserves this. I was fortunate to sit on stage over by the sound people a number of times when Bob and Jerry and Mickey and all the others would be performing with the Grateful Dead. I remember seeing a person who could just move in and improvise as well as Bob and do this. And I think that's when I look at some of the people who are there, have Vermont's own Fish represented and others. You are the people who make real music. When you get together and jam like this, it's one of the reasons why with the Dead, you go back and listen to all the different bootleg tapes. I have so many of them, and you hear the same song performed in different concerts and the various nuances. But that's the same with all the groups who are here tonight. You know yourself that it's the live concerts. It's the live get-togethers that bring out your very best. Sometimes you finish a concert and say, yeah, might have done that a little bit different, but that's the fact, it is different. And the next one is going to be different again. And you can sense when you're really hitting it. I think you are tonight. I just want to congratulate all of you. Bob, I look forward to seeing you either on the road or back here in Washington, or even better, in Vermont.
Word up, Mr. Senator. Okay, next up we got a guy who won a contest to actually give a speech about the Grateful Dead, Bill Stites. Bill Stites. Ladies and gentlemen, Bill Stites.
In 1965, five guys in San Francisco set about forging an alloy of all that was new, hip, and right about American music. They were not a band the way rock bands had previously been conceived. They were a band like Robin Hood's Merry Men. On keys and harmonica, a drunken white bluesman, the son of San Francisco's first R&B DJ. An irritable avant-garde intellectual on the bass. On the drum set, soon to be joined by his musical soulmate, a walking, wide-open conduit of world rhythms. A true American romantic poet providing lyrics. And on guitars, a gifted storyteller, as nuanced and evocative with his instrument as his voice. And his introverted 17-year-old sidekick, who grew into every bit as fine a player as his mentor, and who I can't believe I'm going to shake hands with less than 3 minutes from now. As rock and roll was taking its first steps out of infancy, these madman adventurers were already melting it under the white-hot torch of their creativity, stirring it into a cauldron with the free explorations of John Coltrane and Ornette Coleman, the conceptual mischief of John Cage and Charles Ives, American roots music from bluegrass to folk and the blues, and the contemporary electric pop of Bob Dylan and the Beatles. For a year or two, the concoction smoked and bubbled, churned by the turbulent social climate of the time, then it was given life by a bolt of white lightning, and out crawled perhaps the greatest democratic artistic success story of American history, the Grateful Dead. While their contemporaries were content to dress up rock and the blues with fuzz pedals and psychedelic trim, plastering a new facade over familiar forms, the Dead rushed to and embraced the unknown, emitting an atmosphere all their own, a traveling alien environment that followed them from town to town, ensuring that the only certainty was to be found in the uncertain. They found virgin musical territory, sounds that had never before been heard by human ears, settled down with them and made them home. In a world where most people assume that craven, mindless commerciality is the only route to musical megastardom, The dead shine as proof of the rewards that await the truly courageous. They were the first act even remotely related to rock and roll to become wildly successful without the benefit of radio play, blazing a trail that would eventually be followed by acts ranging all the way from Ani DiFranco to Metallica. Both through their daring musical approach and their pioneering career-long commitment to improving the technology of electric music, they turned the entire idea of the rock concert on its head, and in the process laid the foundation for far more than people realize. They took some of the most arcane, sophisticated concepts of modern music and got them across to literally millions of people through their originality, fearlessness, and infectious enthusiasm for that which is to be found beyond expectations. They turned countless souls onto types of experimental music they otherwise never would have encountered. They were true revolutionaries, and the shockwaves of their influence are still reverberating through the farthest corners of music today. They broadened thinking, they opened minds. Perhaps it is true that, in the annals of American music, that which is vapid and manipulative has often seen more success than that which aspires to some greater artistic goal. But the dead have outlasted all the trivial trite that has come and gone, and the love they inspired, the number of lives they've touched, only grows to this day, 7 years after the loss that ended the band's performing career. By that standard, I can't think of any other artist in any medium that has been as truly successful as they. Not only the inspiration for the scene we are all gathered here to celebrate, they loom over it as a monument to the possibilities inherent in extemporaneous live music, a challenge to musicians of all kinds to attempt to approach their immediacy, their openness, and their primal passion. Where so many bands today are content to imitate and celebrate the past, the dead were always scrambling as fast as they could toward the future. Without a doubt, their sound is idiosyncratic, influential, and wonderful. But far more impressive and important are the ideas that led them to that sound. To quote another of the scene's most admired figures in attendance here tonight, if you take from the dead what you should, you won't sound anything like them. I wish more of the bands on the scene today could take that advice to heart. Over their 30-year career, the dead played everywhere from pizza parlors to hash bars to student protests to Woodstock to the Great Pyramids. They inspired a community of fans more rich and devoted than any other in the history of music. What they achieved still refuses to be categorized, it cannot be encapsulated, commercialized, or simplified, and it continues to change lives to this day. There is no better reason to present to someone a Lifetime Achievement Award. Ladies and gentlemen, tonight we salute the Grateful Dead.
That was a great speech. They asked me to tell a story, and about the Grateful Dead, and I tried to keep it loose, but I figured what I'd start with is Jerry Garcia had really powerful hair. When you watched him walk into a room, and you know, bear in mind, we were a really young band at the time, his hair was sort of coming before him, and it was as if Moses had walked into the room, and you were so intimidated, you couldn't talk to the guy. You were terrified. He's a perfectly nice, affable man. I remember the first time I heard about the Grateful Dead was in high school, and you heard these stories of this mythic band that was doing these magical things. And through playing with Blues Traveler, we've gotten to work with the Grateful Dead, and it's really been interesting watching the levels as you get closer. Last time I saw Bill Graham alive, Miles Davis had just died, and we got to play with Carlos Santana, and that was pretty cool. And a month later, Bill died, and on the same Golden Gate Park, we were there to memorialize Bill, and I was asked to sit in with the Grateful Dead by his son Dave, our manager, and I remember what Carlos Santana did once sitting with the Grateful Dead. Carlos Santana, obviously everybody knows, is a brilliant guitar player. And he plays with all the force that you can muster, but I heard this bootleg once where Santana sat in with the Dead, and he tried to like sort of duel, and he did one of these really great barrages of incredible guitar playing, and it was as if the band sort of opened up and swallowed him. And so I'm sitting with the Grateful Dead, I'm thinking, I'm gonna play it really low key, we're doing Wang Dang Doodle, and I just played a really small solo because I know if you try and run at the Grateful Dead, they absorb your energy and just completely envelop you. And I got out with my pride intact, I felt okay, it was a good jam. But I'll tell you something. There was a moment where Dave Graham has me sitting in a tent with Jerry Garcia. And Jerry Garcia's never met me, I've never met him. I'm really nervous. I'm seeing, you know, like I said, this really incredible hair is sort of moving in front of him and around him. There's an aura there. And I'm trying to think of something to say, and he's just going, you know, and obviously he's thinking, oh great, another one of you punk kids. What the hell am I supposed to tell you now? And he's eating his cheeseburger. I'm trying to think of something to say, and I say, I'm a flurry of emotion. And there was a really long pause, and Jerry said, me too. And that was my real one and only exchange. Thank you. Last time Bobby played a gig with Blues Traveler, the last gig while he was alive that we played, Phil Lesh, who was Bobby's absolute, any of you know Bobby know that Phil Lesh was his absolute idol. And he didn't want to play like Phil, he wanted to do something original the way that Phil did something original. And he got to sit in with him that last night, and it was a really cool irony, in a way. You know, Bobby's dead too, and I mean, we lose a lot of friends along the way, but I'm happy to say that I've gotten to play with other members of the Dead. Bob Weir has played with us a few times, and I've played with him and Rat Dog and stuff, and it's so hard to picture life without this band that I always used to say I was a friend of a Deadhead, because I could not listen to the Grateful Dead when I went with any of my friends, because they'd spend the whole show going, isn't this great? I remember one time they were doing China Cat Sunflower, and I was flipping out on this thing, and they're just talking, it's like the Emperor's New Clothes. I had to actually escape my friends, listen to the band, and it was wonderful. Yeah, I know, they want me to film. But that's my little rant. And now we'd like to present Bob Weir, who's here with this Lifetime Achievement Award, and I think he said that right.
And European musical heritage. please. I don't see a whole lot of black faces here tonight, and I would love to see more in the future. And if you take something home with you tonight, maybe take that home with you. And then, okay, maybe the Grateful Dead did do something. Maybe we brought the, you know, there was yet another part of the puzzle. There was American musical or European musical heritage, mostly classical, and African musical heritage, mostly rhythmic. They came together kind of in New Orleans. And in the 50s, the last part of the puzzle came in, country came in, and that twang came in, and we had rock and roll. And maybe the Grateful Dead was what brought rock and roll into that open-ended, improvisational way of doing things. And so maybe that's what we did. But I don't know. Anyway, are we? I don't want to sound like some kind of a fucking professor up here, and I'm not. Thank you for your kind appreciation. Thanks for this on behalf of all my guys. And now we'll go do what we actually live to do. Thank you.
So Bob's going to walk over there, and they're really close to having Rat Dog come up, so stick around. And after that, there's this big jam session everybody's going to play, and goddammit, I'm going to play because I'm sick of talking! Yeah! So stick around and have drinks.
Thank you. like a child, she's there, she is not to blame. Thank you.
all tomorrow brings is ashes in the glass. And I can't tell you, child, this too shall pass. Before the world were windswept, cold and gray, and in the end there was nothing left to say. What for should we call this late plan? Become the master and the father man. When all the earth were baked to darkness clay. Thank you. Some company never passed away. Some company just one long day. Whichever way your pleasure pass, you plant ice, you gonna hide as well.
Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. for coming, you guys. Thanks for having us. Thanks for coming. We'll see you next year and throughout.